So now in your model, states are critical. Can you help me understand in terms of the whole model? And, you know, briefly you talked about how we can interpret these states in seven different ways, depending on which stage we're at. But why are states, which seem in a way sort of not located in the quadrants in exactly the same way, why are they so critical to the integral model?
Well, technically states are in the upper left. In other words, they're states of consciousness that an individual is going through. So they are in the upper left. While you're going through those states of consciousness, then in the upper right, or the organic physical body, there are brain states, EEG patterns, brainwave patterns, and those are very distinctive during these states of waking dream and deep sleep. The waking state generally has an alpha or beta activity in the brain. Dream state is a theta wave, and deep sleep is delta wave. And theta waves are also shown in states of creativity, rapid learning, and so on, which makes a certain amount of sense. So they do fit the quadrants. I mean, they are present. The reason they're important, though, is that the average person has access to these three great states at any stage they're at. So even though you can't have a permanent acquisition or permanent competence in these, they are available to you. You can plug into them. They enormously expand your life. You get a complete sort of preview tour of the entire spectrum of consciousness as you go through gross, subtle, and causal states. And so not only do you sort of get an authentic taste of these three great realms and the entire spectrum of consciousness that they underlie, the more you do that, the more you practice getting into these non-ordinary states through whatever means, yoga, meditation, contemplation, and so on, then the quicker you develop through the stages. And what that means is that as you develop into these higher stages, then you increasingly remain conscious through all three states. And then at the highest stage of permanent development, which we're just generally calling the seventh stage, it could be the seventh chakra, the seventh level, those acquisitions tend to become permanent. At that point, you tend to have awareness of waking dream and deep sleep state more or less continuously. Again, that's very rare. Great realized beings have that. We have evidence of advanced meditators. A fair percentage of them have access to that kind of constant consciousness as well. So there's fair amount of research on that, but it also fits fairly well with the traditions. Both Vedanta, Vajrayana, certain Neoplatonic traditions make the same kind of correlations. So states are important. If it's only stages, then all of us stuck in stage two and three, like I am on Tuesday, Thursdays, and most of Saturdays.
We're going to talk about those developmental lines later, yeah.
We'd have no access to spiritual anything. I mean, we'd just be, you know, pre-conventional toads. States means that we have this birthright, this ever-present witness that we can access to our own varying degrees at any time. We have these gross, subtle, and causal states of consciousness and the energies that go with them, kind of another topic, but those are very important because these energies are available and can be utilized in acupuncture and kundalini and so on. These ever-present realities become part of authentic spiritual practice at any stage you're at. And by doing that, you simply accelerate your growth through those stages. And this is consonant with what Aurobindo said. It's consonant with the research we have on meditators, laboratory research. And to me, it's kind of good news because it's a mixture of the best of both of these models. There's so much evidence for stage conceptions that we've got to fit them in somehow. I mean, there really are these evidence for levels of moral development in women, for example, and levels of value development and needs and so on. And if your model leaves that out, you're probably shortchanging it in really important ways. And you're probably kidding yourself a little bit because these things are going to catch up with you sooner or later. I mean, if you've really got several levels and lines of development, you're not paying attention to them and imagining that just by getting into an altered state or meditative state, everything's going to be okay, it's probably not going to work. It's probably going to catch up with you. On the other hand, if you have nothing but stages, then it's a pretty bleak outlook. I mean, you just sort of, you know, I have to plug ahead for 15 years before I get anywhere near something resembling spiritual. Not only is it not true, I mean, it's sort of a demeaning concept, but the notion that both of these are important gives us a way to fit them together to have an integral spiritual approach, but also one that has the best chance of succeeding. Because by using both states of consciousness and techniques that develop those, and acknowledging stages, we can actually move through both. We can get the best of both worlds and make the best of both of those to help our own growth and development.
Now, just help me understand this one connection.
Okay.
by spending more time being aware in subtle and causal states, this will accelerate my growth through the stages.
Right.
Can you explain that to me?
Yes. What happens is, remember, each of these, we're using sort of kind of the generic scale of development, but we're also focusing on the self line, the line of self-identity. And each of those is what happens when the big S, capital S, identifies with a little narrow, finite, small S, small self. So each of these seven levels are levels of identity, from the most restricted, just me and my physical little skin-encapsulated ego, all the way up to the highest, which is identity with all. Identity with all of manifestation, cosmic consciousness. As you move through these seven general levels, what happens is you disidentify with a smaller self and you identify with a little bit bigger one. And we gave examples of I'm identified with just me, or now I'm identified with my family or relationships, then peer groups, maybe all nation, maybe all humans, all sentient beings, all manifestation. Each of those are increasing circles of care, compassion, and consciousness. What helps that happen is that, let's say you're at level three, and you're very much identified with level three. Any state of consciousness that you can't interpret at that level acts as a miniature earthquake. It shakes you loose from your identification. It's bigger than you can fit into your level of interpretation. It's an experience that doesn't make sense to you. You can't interpret it, so it leaves stretch marks all over your mind, so to speak. And every time that happens, you slightly disidentify with the level you're at, and therefore you increase your likelihood of moving to a higher level, a higher stage. And so as Aurobindo said, and as a lot of laboratory research has shown, what meditation does is it doesn't skip stages, because you can't skip real stages, but it accelerates movement through those stages. And it does so by, in a sense, dislodging you from your fixation to your present level, because you're having this big earthquake kind of experience. And you go, whoa, you know, you don't get that in Sunday school. So every time you're plunged into a subtler causal reality, it's just what happens. You're letting go of a smaller identity. And that's what we talk about when you go to sleep at night. You're John Doe the physician. You fall asleep. That's gone. You're in the dream state where you could be a centaur, unicorn, any number of things. And every time that happens, you are less identified with that narrow, gross, finite personality. So that's sort of a general explanation of what happens. In a sense, it greases the skids through the spiral of development. It's sort of oil on the tracks that make the things run a lot faster. The thing they all have in common is you're disidentifying with a smaller self. It's shaking you loose from a fixation, an attachment to a very narrow, narrow definition of who you are. And every time that happens, you get a little bit bigger. Your heart gets a little bit bigger. Your mind gets a little bit bigger. Your consciousness gets a little bit bigger until it, in fact, embraces the entire universe. And that's sort of the ultimate realization, so to speak. So plunging into altered states is a good thing. And it's a better thing if you have a map that lets you orient what you're doing. So you don't think altered states are be-all or end-all in themselves, because they're not.